This is WPS1. You're listening at www.wps1.org, PS1 and Mama's Radio. My name is Zephyr Thrull, and I have two very special guests today here at Artist Space in New York. I'm here with artist and activist Jackie Summel and curator of the Artist Space, Joseph Del Pesco. Hi, guys.
Hey, Zephyr.
Hi.
How are you both today?
I'm doing well.
Well,
thanks.
Yeah.
Good. Maybe, Joseph, you start out with just telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do here.
So I am, as of early this past spring, the one of three curators at Artist Space. The other two are Ramundus Malasauskas and Meredith Johnson. And we have kind of been in the process of sort of revisioning the program with Benjamin Weil, the director. And this project that we're talking about today, Jackie Summel's house that Heron built, is the kind of result of that conversation and that process.
Sounds good. Jackie, maybe give us a brief introduction. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Jackie Summel, as you said, artist and activist. And I don't know what you want to know what I do. I can tell you about the project a little bit.
Sure. Well, just to give the listeners a little background, we're currently sitting in a prison cell, but it's a recreation of Herman Wallace's prison cell that's 6 by 9 feet, I believe.
It's just under. It's a sculptural recreation of Herman Wallace's prison cell.
Okay.
It's 5 foot 10.5 inches wide and just under 8 feet
okay.
in length, and then it's 9 feet high. Which is something I realized after building it is a complete psychological, I want to say mindfuck. It's a psychological
mindfuck.
Give me another word besides mindfuck.
Conundrum.
No. So the cell is 9 feet high. It's more high than it is long or wide, which I think is another form of psychological oppression. When you stand inside, you sort of have this feeling that you just want to push it over. But of course, the actual prison cell is made out of cement and steel. And Herman has been in solitary confinement in a cell this size for the last 35 years, a minimum of 23 hours a day.
Okay, so who is Herman Wallace?
Herman Wallace is a Black Panther and political prisoner who's been in Angola prison in Louisiana for the last 4 years. And he and Herman Wallace, Albert Wood Fox, and Robert King make up what has been collectively known as the Angola Three. Three men who have spent over 3 decades in solitary confinement in Angola prison, Louisiana.
Okay, and how is it that that you came to find out about them, about Herman in specific?
I met Herman Wallace through Robert King. Robert King spent 29 years in solitary confinement in Angola before he was released on February 8th, 2001. And after being released, he went on a speaking tour to talk about his experience of wrongful imprisonment and his experience of spending 29 years in solitary confinement, and he came through San Francisco where I was living. He spoke for about an hour and a half about his experiences and the torture that Angola induces on prisoners. And at the end of it, I asked him what could we do? What could anyone do to assuage some of this? And he said, write my comrades. So I began writing Herman and Albert at the same time. And shortly after I began this correspondence with Herman and Albert, Herman went from being in solitary confinement to being in what's known as the dungeon in Angola, which is more punitive than solitary confinement. And I just began to see and feel and hear his condition begin to deteriorate. And that's when we started this project.
Okay, so now this project is called The House That Herman Built. And maybe you could share with us what exactly that means.
This project began about 5.5 years ago with a very simple question. I asked Herman, what kind of house does a man who has lived in a 6 foot by 9 foot cell for 30 years dream of? And it was simply a gesture, sort of like a game between he and I. It was a gesture for myself to sort of help him escape from the dungeon, to escape from being in Angola. And it was a very personal correspondence that developed into a project. And right now we are in the process of fundraising to actually build Herman's house in the Lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans. It's expanded quite a bit.
And so you've been working with an architect doing the blueprints and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been working with an architect named Scott Gustafson. He's based in Colorado. And he read about this project in Domus magazine in December 2006, and then he contacted me and said, what can I do? And as you basically said, well, we want to build it. And he has donated his time and services pro bono since then, which is really amazing.
That's beautiful. Maybe there's a website, though, that people can check out as they're listening on the web?
Absolutely. It's hermanshouse.org, so www.hermanshouse.org.
And so, Joseph, how did you hear about Jackson's project? Jackie's project.
Don't call me Jackson, it's fine.
Jackie and I worked together in San Francisco a couple of years ago on a project, and when she went to Germany, she began sort of materializing this you know, conversation that started in grad school, right? You were doing the model and...
Uh-huh.
In the working on the CAD fly-through, right? And so when you went to Stuttgart, you were kind of materializing it into the publication and presenting it for the first time. And so she sent me the publication, The House of Rondeau, which is this beautiful, you know, full-color publication. It has, you know, 5 years or so letters from Herman, and I read it, and I literally was like so emotionally overwhelmed. I just Which is rare. I mean, it kind of architecture isn't necessarily, like reading about architecture isn't necessarily something that inspires deep emotion for me. But the story is really incredibly moving, and also Jackie's commitment and determination on the project has been really, for me, incredibly inspiring to see that. And so we began just general correspondence and just keeping track of what she's been up to over the course of the last few years, and. When I saw that it was in this shape, you know, that she was actually doing exhibitions of the project, and then, you know, kind of things, stars aligned, and I ended up working for Art of Space here, so I said, we should do a project. And it's led to all these beautiful expansions of the project, which we're printing a poster of the blueprints, working with the designer Ashley Pickford, who's been wonderful. And also a kind of 3,000 or so word conversation between Jackie and I, and Jackie's been working hard on the timeline that kind of maps Herman's history and her own and how they overlap, and it's ultimately a very personal project for Jackie, and I feel honored to be part of that process.
So the question I think probably on a lot of people's mind is, you know, how does Herman feel about it, and will Herman be able to get out of prison anytime to actually visit this house, this mythic house?
Those are two questions.
right.
Herman's very excited about it. In the beginning, as I said, it was a really personal exchange, and I think Herman's feelings about it were more based in the realm of relief. It was a relief, it was a game for him, and it was a correspondence between he and myself, or a catalyst for an even richer correspondence. And I think now he recognizes what a strong organizing tool this has been, and how many more people know about Herman Wallace because of his house. I think it's really important to build Herman Wallace's house. I think everybody should know Herman Wallace's name, and I don't think anybody should be forced to suffer as much as Herman Wallace has. I think building the dream home of a man who's been in a 6-foot by 9-foot cell for 35 years is the ultimate symbol of resistance and survival. And I want to make that happen, you know? And making an art show for me is just another way to expand the vocabulary of this conversation around Herman's situation. I mean, I'm an artist, but if I was a baker, I don't know, maybe I'd make, like, Herman's House muffins or something, you know? I really want to develop sort of an Esperanto around it. I want to expand that conversation in as many realms as I can, and the beautiful thing about it Joseph is bringing it to the United States for the first time, which is really incredible. And I think it's also a risk, you know, because it's so politically layered and so politically dense. And then there's been interest in it in architectural realms and architectural conversations, you know. And like I said, I would love to expand as much as I can into as many different factions to sort of to encourage and foster and facilitate this conversation. Like, how can this happen? It's 2007. How does Juneau, Louisiana happen in 2007, you know? How do all of these catastrophes of justice continue to happen in the United States of America?
And then for me, personally, learning about this project and learning about Jackie's involvement and learning about Herman's case has been a seed for a whole expansive sort of set of information. I mean, 23 out of 24 hours a day in this space is unimaginable to us.
But then, to reinforce that for the listener, though, the space is tiny. Like, we're practically sitting on top of each other right now.
Right.
Two of us on the bed and one on a tiny, tiny stool.
And as you can see, this bed is framed, so you can't lay down all the way straight. I'm sitting at a desk right now that I can barely squeeze into. And right at my foot is a toilet. But beyond that, I mean, you know, learning that this was literally a slave plantation turned into a maximum security prison, and the inmates are working at a farm. I mean, it's the distance between prison and plantation is very narrow. It's very close. And the more you learn about Herman, and the more you learn about his case, and the more you learn about his politics, you start to see all these things that seem unreal that they could exist in 2007. It seemed impossible. It's like the subconscious of the U.S., you know, down at the bottom of its southern reaches. You know, I think it's, and that's been one of the powerful things for me in this project, learning about that, the entire story.
So, a question that I have, and I'd like you both to answer this in your way, is how do you respond to people who have said, you know, maybe people have said this or haven't said this, well, you know, he's a criminal. Why does he get his dream house built? For being a criminal? Like, what's your response to that?
That has been said, of course. And my response, the overarching response is nobody should have to, not one single human being on the face of the earth in a borderless world should ever have to suffer as much as Herman Wallace has suffered. And like I said, it is a triumphant spirit for him to engage in this project and for him to dream about a house. I also think on a more ubiquitous level, everyone should be encouraged to dream. And it doesn't matter if you're in prison, it doesn't matter if you're a housewife, it doesn't matter if you're a five-year-old kid. I think generally the population has been reduced to sort of a labor, you know, and dreaming outside of your immediate is not necessarily facilitated or encouraged. I mean, I'm an artist, of course I'm encouraged to dream. But in general, people aren't, and I think if someone who's been kept in a 6-foot-by-9-foot cell for 35 years can dream, then anyone can dream.
Joseph, yourself, what do you think?
And rephrase the question for me.
I know I lost the question.
Herman Wallace, is this being, you know, how would you respond to the critique that Herman Wallace is a criminal, and why should you build a dream house for a criminal?
I think Herman's case is more complicated than that question. That suggests a kind of reduction. Not that it's a bad question, but I think that there's a Herman's case, and I don't know the inner workings of it to the extent that Jackie does. But his case is being reconsidered in the courts, and it very well may be that Herman is released at some point in the near future. And I think to understand the prison system is to understand how complicated that his situation actually is. You know, what is 80% black, and most of the guards are white.
In Angola.
In Angola, right. And the warden is under investigation for all kinds of fraud. And I mean, the complication is extreme. And I think, sure, he's an inmate, you know, which is of course the euphemism for prisoner, and he's being held, and he is, as Jackie said, living a torture. I mean, torture is a topic at the moment that is being dealt with and reconsidered because of this administration, and it's not something that we should abide by in any form. You know, for anyone. And this is torture. I mean, can you imagine if we were in here for more than even an hour? It would start to really feel like we're...
I'm getting nervous already. Yeah.
It's true.
So, I mean, I think that's part of what Jackie's project here at RSpace does, is it helps you feel the physical space. It helps reify this kind of world that that Herman is in, and also the kind of expanse of the project that Jackie's proposed. In conversation with Herman, and the sort of tension between those two extremes.
I just was going to say, I think Joseph brought up a really good point in that this project not only sheds light on torture in the U.S. prison system, but the injustices and the perpetual injustices that seem to be racially biased. Herman Wallace represents these populations. He represents the tortured populations. He represents the racially biased populations. He's a Black Panther, you know, and he embodies hell. I mean, he's surviving hell in the U.S. prison system, and miscarriages of justice, which I think is a really important conversation. I could get into his case, but that's like 20 minutes, you know. And his entire case is illustrated on the Angola 3 website, which is www.angola3.org, and it'll give you some background to it, but I don't think it's coincidental that 12% of the U.S. population is Black and 40% of the U.S. prison population is Black. I think there's quite a skew in those ratios there, and I also think that right now when there's 2.2 million people behind bars in the United States, which is about 500,000 more than China, it's quite significant. But when you have a situation where there's mandatory labor, so prisoners are forced to work for 4 to 20 cents an hour, you're facilitating the same paradigm of slavery, you know? And I think in its essence, hopefully this project illustrates not only that, but how the tragedies of justice can reinforce that economic and social model.
And so, to dovetail off that, the house that you're actually giving this man an out, the dream home,
mm-hmm.
Have you talked a little bit about that? What shape it's going to take? And you're building a mock-up right now. You were putting together shrubbery just a minute ago.
Yeah, I was gardening his model home. Well, the house takes the shape of Herman's imagination. And I think it's very indicative of his situation. Joseph had asked me about this before. What is indicative of Herman's situation and illustrated through his house and the whole thing, the whole entire thing. The house that Herman designed, of course, has been kept in a time capsule because he was in prison in 1968 and in solitary confinement since April 17th, 1972. So you can imagine that much of the house is designed with this 1970s aesthetic. Like he has shag carpeting in all the rooms, shag carpeting, mirrored ceilings, mahogany furniture.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I think there's a lava lamp in one of the rooms, which
yes.
is so amazing.
So it's down to the precise detail then. It's not just, you know, rough architectural sketches, but it's like down to what kind of bedspread and things like that.
In fact, Herman was much more able to tell me the precise details, what kind of grain he wants in the wood, what kind of flowers, whose pictures he wants up in what room, what goes in the pantry, and can you please put a fire alarm in the kitchen to make it safe for cooking. He was much more able to talk about those experiences than he was to talk about space. And that is a direct result of his confinement, right? Like, his vision is incredibly myopic. He can dream like this. He can tell me about the texture of his cell wall, but he can't necessarily tell me the size of the yard.
Right. And so you've actually spoken about one issue of space as well, is that he wants a guest house put on the back with a glass wall. And,
mm-hmm.
And why the glass wall again?
In case anyone who stays in the guest house suffers from claustrophobia.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah.
And the house is wood because if he needs to get away, he can burn it down.
Yeah. Well, he asked that the house be made of wood for three reasons. The first reason was that because he hasn't touched or felt wood in 40 years. Mm. He's been in cement and steel, and he never wants to see it again, you know. He asked that the wood be that the house be made of wood, because wood is the essence of life. Wood is alive. Wood breathes. Wood gives. And steel and concrete is dead, and it represents death to him. And he wants the house to be made of wood in case he is ever under attack. He can set it on fire and escape through the back of the chimney into an underground bunker.
The underground bunker. Now tell me about the bunker.
It's under the pool, right?
The bunker is built under the pool. There's an escape chute through the master bedroom, which is on the second floor, so you can go back through his chimney. An escape chute leads down underneath, and then there's a tunnel that leads to a bunker underneath the swimming pool. The swimming pool has a light green bottom and a large black panther in the center, which is also pretty significant. The bunker itself is equipped with all military essentials, sleeping bags, flashlights, canned food rations, a first aid kit, air masks, and a television set so he can view what's happening on the rest of the property, or closer to TV.
So this definitely sounds like somebody who's preparing for an attack.
It sounds like someone who's been under attack for the last four decades, yeah.
Just taking precautions.
Yeah. So writing letters back and forth, has it mostly just been a correspondence about this house, or do you guys actually talk about other things as well?
No, we're family. We talk about everything.
And you've been in to visit over 30 times.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. I've been to visit Herman at least 25 times. I'm not really sure. I lost count a while back. But we're family, and we talk about everything. You know, he's one of my closest friends in the whole world. He's a mentor. He is someone I trust with my life, and I think through this, he trusts me with his.
What are his feelings about the show?
He's really, really excited about this show because it's the first show, full show of the house in the United States. Herman's never been in a gallery, so he doesn't really know what to expect. He's seen photographs of the other exhibitions. This one is much more developed, and in this one we're kicking off the fundraising campaign to build Herman's house, so there's going to be actual working blueprints of the house and the timeline that Joseph described. It's the biggest exhibition of that project so far. Also, Artispace was kind enough to fly Herman's sister up for the opening, and Herman is completely ecstatic about that. It'll be Miss Vicky's second time on a plane in her whole life. So it's really, really special. She's representing.
All right. Well, what day is the opening for those listening?
It's Thursday, October 11.
And how long does the show run for?
It runs through, I think, the first 2 weeks of December.
Okay. And Jackie, if you could just give the website again for people listening so they can check out.
Sure. The website for the project is www.hermanshouse.org. And the website for Herman's legal situation is www.angola3.org.
And if you need directions to Artispace next Thursday, the website is www.artis.org.
And I've been here with Joseph Del Pesco, curator, one of the curators of Artispace, and Jackie Sommel, an artist and activist. Thank you so much. My name is Zephyr Thrall. You're listening to WPS1 at www.wps1.org, PS1 and Moments Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Zephyr.